All right, so Brother Kua just did a study on focus for new believers, young believers. The one thing that struck me when I was listening to him do that is how the verse tells, and he can read, I'll have them read the verse. Brother, read the verse for us again as we do a discussion on this real quick.
Yeah, so it's 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Yeah. So what struck me about that is I was telling him, I love how God's word is like knit together, because while Paul is telling the young believer to focus on those things, when you're a believer for 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, those things are still a focus. It's like, it's not like young believers, remember what he told Timothy, don't let anybody judge you for being young. It's not like young believers are on milk and then we all move on to the steak and you're just like, you know, sucking on the bottle. It's the same things that we all are still going to be working on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's kind of like the same spirit.
Yeah.
Just, it's like at different points of your walk,
I guess. Yeah, yeah. So I thought what I'd ask you to do is, as you read that verse, give real world examples for each word.
Okay.
What do you think?
All right. So the first one, be an example of the believers in word, something said. Let's say, well, I guess perhaps you're talking to, you're out in the world and you engage someone preaching the gospel.
That's maybe, exactly what I was thinking, yeah, about, maybe, a witnessing experience.
Yeah, you witness to someone and you're an example to the believers in word. I know in one point in the scriptures it says do it with fear and meekness when right. You preach the gospel. So you're very careful about what you say, how you say it. You want to make sure you're speaking the gospel, the path to eternal life the person needs to hear.
Yeah.
And you give them a resource to go to. You don't just say the gospel and then just leave it there and just like, well, good luck with that.
Yep.
It's like your pattern of words, and from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
In conversation, example in conversation. So conversation, behavior.
Right.
So behavior.
The behavior of a young believer, is that important?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. And I was thinking, this just came to mind when David was conducting himself around Saul. He conducted himself, it says in the scriptures, very wisely. And Saul was actually afraid of him because the Lord was with him and he was conducting himself so wisely. It scared Saul. So I think about a real-world example right now in your job.
Yeah.
Just carrying yourself wisely, not engaging in conversations you shouldn't engage in, keeping yourself separate, but working hard, being diligent. It's that whole behavior.
Yeah. That reminds me of the verse in Philippians where Paul talks about in all your I think he used that word.
Yeah.
That word conversation is in there as well, and it's like in all manner of your conduct.
Yeah. That's like a King James word.
Amen.
The next one, example of the believers in charity. So in love, and this isn't the fleshly love.
Coffee and donuts?
Yeah, not coffee and donuts, no. Even though that's what you see a lot of times in the churches. But it's a real biblical love where if you see someone in sin, you see your brother and sister kind of veering off the path, and you know the truth, you tell them the truth, you love them enough to tell them the truth, and the love extends beyond just telling them the truth, keeping them from sin. It also extends to caring for their daily needs, whether it be the poor, the needy, whatever it might be. It's that authentic love of God, not the fleshly love.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
And then, example of the believers in spirit, walking in the spirit.
Can I toss one in?
Not the flesh.
So, example in spirit. So, we'll go back to the witnessing thing. So, let's say you go out witnessing, and you're witnessing to somebody, and they either do or say something that gets you, like, really mad.
Yeah.
And as a young believer, you could get, like, really riled up and either do something. Like, okay, you saw an older man walk into me and kind of push me off the sidewalk or try to push me or try to get his way. And what if I would have turned and shoved him and said, get out of here, and shoved him like that? What kind of an example would that be? It wouldn't be in the spirit. It would be in the flesh. Yeah. And so a young believer could do that, or they could do it in word too, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could do it in word, walking in the spirit, always being circumspect of those things around you, especially when you're young, whether a young Christian or young just in the flesh.
Yeah.
You haven't, I guess, refine that discernment as much. So you have to be really careful about your flesh in certain situations. You haven't seen a lot of situations, so you have to be really careful how you handle
it. Especially in street ministry.
Yeah, new situations. People come up, will throw words at you, will be very agitating to you. You just have to... You have to control it. You have to be an example.
Walk in the Spirit, and then you use the wisdom that the Spirit gives you. And many times, for all of us, but especially for a new believer, many times saying nothing is better than saying what you shouldn't say. Because the Bible says even a fool looks smart when he doesn't say anything. Not that new believers are fools, but somebody might say something to you, and you might go, I don't know the answer to that. Well, instead of trying to look smart and blurting out an answer, go, hope that was right, you'd be better off looking at the person and either going back to the gospel if that question has nothing to do with what really is important, or to say, you know, that's a really good question. And if you're a seeker, we could get an answer for you about that rather than just blurting out something. So that would be being led by the Spirit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think also there's a danger of being a novice thinking you have to know everything and like say everything.
Pride, puff it up.
Exactly, yeah, the pride of a novice. So
none of us know everything.
Walking in the Spirit also includes knowing when to fall back on your eldership, your elder authority, whatever, submitting yourself to something you don't know. Say, hey, you know what, let me get an answer for you on that. Or, hey, my brother would know that answer. Why don't you reach out to him or check out the website? You don't know everything, and you have to kind of admit that, and that's also walking in the Spirit.
Yeah, and that's wisdom, yeah. Definitely.
And the next one, example in faith. So like I said, you'll go through a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations early on in your walk, especially separating from Satan's kingdom, Satan's hold on you.
Yeah.
He'll try to pull you back, and you'll get family coming after you. You'll get friends coming after you. You'll get thoughts about previous things pop into mind, whether Satan sends something or whatever. Your faith, holding on to Christ through all of it, Christ is going to put you through the fire. But if you're holding on to Christ, you'll be an example of faith for old and young believers that are coming through. They'll say, wow, look at what the Lord's done in your life. You held on to him through that. He blessed you so much, and you'll be an example.
Amen. Can I give an example? Just today. Brother Akuo and I are in a marketplace. Sister Amon went out in the van, and there was this strange man that we all saw earlier, and he would go outside and he was talking to himself, and he wasn't just talking to himself, he was making hand gestures, and I said, oh, this guy's got something going on. And then he'd come in and he was sitting there, and then Sister Amon went out in the van, and Brother Nkuna and were sitting there, and this man at one point, I kept seeing him, he was like laughing at himself, I mean hilariously laughing at himself, with himself, and then he was talking to himself, and then he was throwing his hands around a little bit, and then a couple people showed up, and he was more normal around them a little bit, and then they left, and all of a sudden, at one point, Brother Kua, what happened? And he's only one table next to you, and I'm at the other table, but he's closest to you, what happened?
Oh yeah, he just...
And I'm going to get to the faith part.
Oh yeah, yeah, he stood up, and he was standing there for 15 minutes, and he was making hand signs like he was shooting a gun with his
pistol.
Hand. And he was grabbing himself and like twisting his neck, like
twitching,
and I was watching him out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, this is something spiritual going on.
And you know, it was creepy for me, or creepy, a little bit strange, or not creepy, but a little bit unnerving for me. He had been sitting in there with just a regular shirt on, and you could easily see if he had something. He went out to his car, and he came back, and he had a big baggy coat on.
Right.
And now I'm going, okay, is this guy bringing a gun in? Is he ready to go, you know, off? And I was just working and kind of watching him out of the corner of my eye. And like Brother Kuhn said, for 15 minutes, he's making these hand gestures with a knife and pointing a gun like he's going to shoot. And what did we do by faith, brother?
Well, by faith, when we left, he was standing outside, still talking to himself. I was watching him, and we went out there. We approached him. We gave him a gospel card. We said, this is the path to eternal life. Jesus Christ made the way. And he really calmed down when we talked to him.
Purposely made the point to tell him that Christ has come to set the captives free so that if he is in bondage to evil. And what did he say?
Yeah, he said, okay, thanks.
And he took the card back in McDonald's. Yeah. Hopefully he didn't hurt anybody in there.
No.
But did we have to walk in faith there?
Yeah, we had to walk in faith that the Lord would protect us no matter what happened. If he did, something did happen, I mean, we're going to meet the Lord, so it's...
Love not your life unto death.
Love not your life. But he got the gospel, so maybe that'll completely change his life.
Yeah. So that's just an example of walking in faith, and we have to do that all the time when we go out and do street ministry.
Yeah, boldness and courage in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And then the last one, an example in purity.
Purity.
So especially for young men and women in the flesh, purity is a big one because this culture, Satan has saturated it with so much impure stuff for the young people.
Lasciviousness and carnality.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a big part of it is to show your purity that you abstain from all of that and you say, nope, not going to engage in any of that. You're separate from the culture. I think that speaks volumes to young people, especially when you witness to young people and they say, you don't do this, that, this,
yeah.
Everything the culture is doing. No, I do this. Aren't you bored? Aren't you this? It's like, no, I have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
They think you got to get old and get tired of all that.
Right, yeah. So that's one thing. It can really leave an impact on, especially young people, but even the older people that are, this culture is just saturated with it. And keeping yourself pure, that's a big thing.
Can I throw in, I think that has a lot to do with like, whether you're young or old, but like we're street preachers and we hear these stories, and I know of some street preachers that go to the beach. And they witness, and then they, this is just not right. I mean, it's one thing to go out in the culture. Whatever you see on our street preaching videos, you can see at Walmart, okay? Or you could see driving down the road. But to go to a beach where everyone is literally in their underwear nonstop. Yeah, somebody can walk down the road in their swimsuit, but you don't see that very often. People walk, take their clothes off, and they're in their underwear at the beach. To go there and put yourself in front of that and try to bring the gospel there, I don't think that that is walking in wisdom or in purity. Putting yourself in that type of environment and telling people, well, I've come here to preach the gospel, when there's so many other places you can reach people with the gospel. So this idea of purity is just a matter of like where you put yourself, how you carry yourself, who you witness to. For me as a married man, here's a good example. If Sister Amin goes in a store and some lady approaches me in the van, I don't get out and sit there and talk to her for 25 minutes alone. I usually will stay in my van and I'll say, oh, here's a gospel card. My wife's in the store. If you're here when she comes out, we'd love to talk to you. And it keeps, I'm not tempted by it, but it keeps that appearance of purity. Like, oh, he's not getting too close to that young woman. He's there with his wife or he's not there with his wife. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Same thing for a young person. You should use the same kind of standards.
Yeah, it's like avoiding all appearance of evil. And especially, like I said, it hits a lot harder when you're very young because the culture is so saturated with it. They just expect young people to be a certain way. And when you're separate from that, you keep yourselves from those situations. It's like, wow, this guy is really different. Like, this young man is, like, really keeping himself separate.
It's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
Those are all in 1 Timothy 4:12 for the examples. But
yeah, those are awesome. So for a young believer, Timothy must be quite a good role model for you.
Yeah, I mean, Timothy, I don't know how old.
Yeah, we don't know. We know he probably wasn't 15 or 16.
No.
We don't know if he was 32. You know, probably a good guess he's in his mid-20s, something like you, probably.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I read through the Timothy letters, I think about a young man, Paul's writing to a young man, and he has the same trials, afflictions as every young person out there, and like the temptations and whatnot, and Paul is just encouraging him like he encourages all young Christians. It's great to read the books of Timothy if you're a young person because you get the sense of what you should be doing, how you should be conducting yourself. And Timothy was a stellar Christian for his age, and he was actually appointing elders in the churches and all of that.
Yep.
But it's something to attain to, definitely.
I love how Paul talks about Timothy when he says, I have no one like him who cares for you like this. I love that. Yeah. Young man Timothy, Paul says, I got nobody like him that can care for you the way Timothy does. So yeah, that's quite a good example to have. Timothy's a good example for all of us, but as a young person, I think it also shows that God's not partial.
Yeah.
Meaning God doesn't say, oh, I discount you till you get older. God can use everybody. And just like when we go out and do street ministry, you can speak life into people as a newer believer as well as I can. And God will use you to speak life into anybody. That should be encouraging to new believers too, that you have the same gospel, the same word, the same spirit, the same everything. You're just working on sharpening your sword. Some people are further down the road of their sword being sharpened, but you still have the sword to use.
Yeah, yeah, and that's awesome. And you know the Lord will keep you in whatever circumstance that comes around, and you always bring it back to the gospel, and you can speak life into anyone. You know Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's saved you from eternal damnation.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful thing. You want to share it with people, and it's that childlike faith, if you go back to that, it's like the childlike faith, people think older, it's like that partiality, more wisdom if you're older. We meet a ton of older people that don't have a whole lot of wisdom.
That's but for sure.
The young people having that childlike faith of you're new to the faith or young Christian, young in the flesh, it's like just grasping that you don't have to be intellectually full of biblical knowledge in order
or
to
have vast decades of experience.
Yeah, in order to share the light, the truth with people. And the Lord can use the simple seeds you plant to sprout into something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've seen just in the short time that we've been with you, you've been a believer, we've seen your confidence grow, and we've seen your wisdom in the Lord grow and your knowledge grow. And I love when we're out in the street and somebody comes up and we start talking and I start witnessing to them. Or if I walk up and Brother Koo is already witnessing, and then I know all the time, I know people look at me and they think like, oh, he's going to take over right away. And sometimes I'll walk up and introduce myself and I'll say, brother, tell them about this. And I'll walk away. And I know that impresses people because here's a young man and he tells them, I'm a newer believer. And they're going, this guy knows the word of God. He's sharing the gospel. The old guy didn't come and take over. He's sharing the word of God. And that is just more confirmation of how the Holy Spirit can work in a new believer.
Yeah, especially people like the older man going out rebuking, let's say, a church or standing at a festival preaching the gospel. It's like people kind of have seen that image in their mind before. Of
like an old prophet.
Yeah, it's like an old prophet kind of character. But
John the Baptist.
Yeah, then they see the young man standing next to him or like saying the same stuff or preaching the same gospel. And it's like,
yeah,
it almost like makes it like a deeper impact when you're a younger Christian,
yep.
A younger person.
It is.
It's like, it hits a little bit harder.
It is.
Yeah.
And it just hit me. Who was it, brother? Not long ago. Who was it? Was it at the Anabaptist place or somewhere when a man said, oh, you're young. You'll come to see it. You'll come out of this stuff.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
So they think that I'm an old man, and I don't know what they think, why I haven't come out of the truth of God. They think he's a young man and that somehow he's blinded by something, and eventually you'll grow out of it. And I look at that man and I go, Sister Amon and I could be Brother Kua's parents, and like, we haven't grown out of it. Why does everybody assume you're going to grow out of it? We haven't. We've gotten more serious and bold and desiring of the things of God. We don't grow out of it.
No.
I think that's such a foolish thing.
No, yeah, the scriptures say your light's going to shine brighter and brighter. You're going to wax stronger and stronger. You're going to be bolder and bolder everywhere in the scriptures. If their light dies out, that's on them. But you should be progressively getting more bold, able to stand for the truth more often.
Yeah.
Just like the Lord gives you more opportunities.
And on that note, we'll end with this. I want you to share something.
Yeah.
This young man, this young believer, he said something the other day that I told Sister Amon, and it really encouraged both of us. And you said, I talked about how when you read the word, how you focus on the word and the world seems to fade away. And what did you say, brother? I'll remind you so you know. You said, when you strip more of Satan's kingdom.
Yeah. So I've noticed when you strip everything from Satan's kingdom out of your life, you're down to the bare basics.
There's not much left from this world.
It's the bare. It's like that contentment with food and raiment. And I mean, it's so true because Satan wants to cloud you with so much stuff you need to have. I need to have this, need to have this. When you strip all that out and you're just working for the kingdom of God, the kingdom to come, all this is going to be burned up. It gets you down to the bare basics. And
I love that. And yeah. You know what? I love that because Matthew 10, Jesus said, be willing to lose your life to find it. If you don't got much in this world and don't want much in this world, don't care about much in this world, when it comes time for you to leave, you're not leaving much behind. No. But like the rich man, I got this, I got that, I got that, I got all these people I want to be around still. I mean, yeah, you're going to miss your brothers and sisters, but you know if they endure that you're going to be with them in eternity. So the more you strip away, the less you have holding you here.
Right.
And you're seeing that as a young man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have anything left in you, if there's no part dark, Jesus said your whole body's going to be full of light. But if you still have a part dark where your eye isn't single and it's still on the things in the world, I mean, you're going to be holding on to the world because you can't serve two masters. But just make sure your eye is single and that you've let go of everything here.
Yeah, and as it comes to those things, Jesus said, strip it out, cut it out, pluck it out, rip it out, tear it out.
Yeah.
Yep. Good word, brother. Good word. Thank you.